if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen, Country, and Video Games. BRB UK. Worse teeth, better accents.
Hello, hello, and indeed ahoy, hoy, and welcome to episode 292 of BRB UK, and welcome back to me, for I was not here last
292.
Week.
292!
Apparently because I was doing things to small children, Coleman.
What?
I didn't say that.
About murdering children or something, I don't know, I just saw the episode title and assumed it was a dig at me.
So you didn't listen to the episode?
No.
You just made assumptions, Dan. Like a true internet commenter.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, to be fair, though, it's not an unreasonable set of assumptions if you're time poor, as I was over the previous week. Just going, well, that sounds like it's probably abusive to me, because usually when it's like, all right, I'm going to, just for the sake of sanity and real life, I'm having to split extra life into 2 12-hour chunks, instantly means that I'm killing children on intensive care wards for some reason.
Well, there was that, but it was more Harry Potter last week that was strangling children for money, so.
All right, I also heard that something about lopsided something or others.
Good.
Good.
So anyway, chaps, how the devil are you? That's Tim, by the way. Say hello.
Hello.
And the other one's Coleman. Say hello, Coleman.
Hi.
Hi, how are you doing, chaps?
Good, but we got a lot of news.
Yeah, we don't have time for pleasantries this week, Dan.
No time to explain. Well, there's no time to explain.
Yeah.
Because there's new Destiny out, damn straight. Anyway, Nintendo. I booted up my Switch the other day.
Yeah.
As I have been known to do with increasing frequency. And I got shown a little page, a little alert saying that the online service is coming for the low, low price of £17.99 per year. And it then proceeded to faff around and not really tell me anything in the rest of that post. Other than apparently we get some classic games with added online play, and this was just following on from the fact that Nintendo said nope, no virtual console for Switch, which is a flipping dumb idea.
Well, lucky for you, Dan, I've spent my day off in the sunshine looking around various websites and collating all the information about the Nintendo Switch online service.
Are you going to tell me that the service is going to launch with 20 games by any chance, Coleman?
We were also sent like a press release with all the exact details in it as well, but you know, hey.
I wasn't.
Well, the one detail it didn't say, though, because in the official press release, it quoted the prices in euros. And all the prices in euros were literally just the dollar prices with a euro sign instead, basically. So, but you actually saw the price of $17.99, because that wasn't available information.
Yes, it was.
Yes, it was. When on the Switch.
You just go onto the UK website.
Okay. Just saying, it wasn't available information in the press release.
Yeah, but did you look at the website they had, Tim?
No!
All right. Okay, good. Two for two, Tim.
Well, I was just asking for clarification. It was definitely $17.99, but that's good.
This is why I went
that's
to...
a bit less than I thought it would be, because I just thought they'd substitute the dollar and euro sign for a pound sign like they normally do with us.
This is why I say I went to various websites.
I think it's a fair price, bearing in mind the lack of really compelling online functionality. And I come back to this stupid chat app that you have to use to converse with anybody online. That's still going to be a thing.
Yeah, that actually puts me off wanting to give them money, because I don't want them to think that that was part of the reason that I'm giving them money.
But they're very much going along the kind of the precedent set by Xbox Live and PlayStation Network, or PS Plus rather, because if you don't have the super duper service, no online service for you.
Yeah, they are giving a few other bells and whistles with it, but again, they're possibly things that should come like as part of just owning a Switch anyway, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's this apparently going to get, again, it's kind of taking a leaf out of, again, Xbox Live and PlayStation Plus, where if you subscribe, you do get special offers and you might get discounts.
Well, the cloud save, I think, was the bigger actual thing that actually counts towards something and is actually useful, but is actually useful no matter whether you're playing online or not.
I mean, I'm just amazed. Nintendo have only just got over making absolutely everything locked to a console ID, which is a pain in the ass if you ever upgrade anything. But apparently there will be some launch titles, but it's all going to be NES-era stuff, or Famicom if you are a super Japanese-reading hipster, or Japanese, alternatively. And launch titles include the imaginatively named Soccer.
I love Soccer.
The even more imaginatively named Tennis.
Tennis was good. Mario was an umpire. I liked it.
Yeah.
Also, Mario Brothers, the original, and Super Mario Brothers. Yes, they are two different things, you young whippersnappers. And Dr. Mario, whole reason I did medicine. a Donkey Kong, and OG Legend of Zelda, which is as hard as balls.
Well, I don't know about you guys. I never had a NES. I think I had a girlfriend that had one many years ago, and I played...
Dude, it was released in 1987. What the hell was six-year-old Tim doing with a girlfriend? Too distracted by the pleasures of the flesh to enjoy some video game goodness.
It was some years afterwards, but I think I was about 13 at the time. Anyway, so, like...
No, you weren't?
Yeah, anyway.
No!
Yes. No. I was 13 at the time that I was dating that girl, and she had a NES that was some years old at that time, but it had like a Rob the Robot and all that type of stuff, so it was worth playing. Anyway, but yeah, I don't remember that many other NES games other than the ones on that list, and they said there's another 10 on the way. Is there another 10 worth playing?
Probably Zelda 2.
Yeah, Zelda 2.
Yep, Zelda 2, that's 2 down. Now we're going, got to find 8, Coleman.
You got Super Mario Bros. 2, which isn't on the list. That's my favourite Mario Bros. NES game.
Yep, Super Mario Bros. 3, which was on the list, but I didn't mention it.
A lot of the more memorable games are licensed titles that weren't first-party Nintendo games. So,
and Mega Man has already had its legacy collection put out, hasn't it? So,
yeah.
Doesn't mean that they won't put one up on this sort of service. But I guess they're favouring games that where there's either co-op or multiplayer so that they can play those online.
Well, I think it's more for scoreboards, so you could play online and do your scores against other people.
I'm not being funny. But where's the Super Nintendo love on that list?
It'll come.
Well, NES first. NES before SNES.
Oh, good. We've only got 6 years to wait until that's released then. Brilliant.
Well, if you remember the first time they spoke about this back in January, I think it was, the idea was we were going to get, I think it was 2 games initially, and then they were going to swap them out each month. Mm-hmm. Then they upped that to 3 games, and we get to keep them rather than they swap them out each month. Now it seems they're building a library, and we get access to the library. So they're just going to add titles to it each month by the looks of it. Whether that means they're going to take stuff out and put stuff in, we don't know yet. But yeah, each of these games are going to be enhanced to have some kind of online functionality. Most likely to be scoreboards. Maybe in case of Mario Brothers, you could have an online...
A speed run?
No. Mario Brothers is a single screen game where you're trying to knock each other out and score points and stuff.
Oh, of course. Yeah, sorry.
The old
Super
arcade.
Super Mario Brothers, I was thinking of.
Yeah. Interestingly, because they released Super Mario Brothers on the Switch already, which I bought, but it was the arcade edition, so it's the super balls hard speedrunny type game.
Okay.
But this is the actual NES release of the game, so I'm looking forward to that because the arcade one is really difficult.
So that service, so it's $17.99 for a year, best value, !! It'll also cost, if you don't want to shout out for a whole year and just want to kind of suck it and see, it's $3.49 for 1 month, $6.99 for 3 months as well. And I really hope they call it Nintendo Online is what I really hope to call it.
Oh. Also, there's a family plan where up to 8 of you can get together and take out one plan and use it together. So BRB might become a family.
Yes, Mormons of America are happy.
Also, in a bit of non-news, Jason Schreier of Kotaku, he reached out to Nintendo this week and said, hey, any plans for the virtual console? Even though they've gone, hey, here's a bunch of... We're going to do this whole library of retro Nintendo games. And they went, no plans to launch games under the banner of Virtual Console. So everyone can stop asking. The Virtual Console is not a thing. It's a name. Can we stop asking for
although,
it?
Although, exactly. It's not being released under the banner of...
Yes,
but
and I think they deliberately did that to step away from the criticisms of, oh, I bought all these games on... previous Wii or Wii U on Virtual Console, why do they not transfer across? You lose that branding, it takes away that kind of that criticism a bit. No?
Indeed.
Anywho,
that is Nintendo Online coming soon at some point, presumably. And they said that existing Switch owners are all going to kind of, they're going to start turning services on before we start to have to pay, was my understanding, just so we can see if we like it or not.
Hooray!
Well, it just means that we'll be testing them for them for free. Anyway, yeah.
It's all right, for the free sum of nothing, I don't mind so much.
You'll get 14 free days, and that will give you access to Sea of Thieves. No, that was
in March, Coleman, you're thinking of, they're getting very confused. Anyway, talking of getting very confused, Walmart are clearly hurting after selling Asda to Sainsbury's, and they're on the lookout for being culturally relevant and posted apparently... by accident, a list of titles that are apparently going to be revealed at E3, and I think this is a big steaming pile of horse dung.
Yeah, I think it's people reading too much into it.
Do you want to know why I think it's horse dung, Tim?
Why?
Before you start going, people reading it.
Okay.
On that list is Forza Horizon 5.
Yeah, which is rubbish, because they haven't had
Forza Horizon
yet.
4 hasn't been released yet.
Destiny Comet as well. That's
the placeholder name that's often given to the, like, the Taken King was known as the Comet release, and that's their internal code name for it. But a lot of these are just really kind of, oh, herpa derpa derp, you could probably guess. So Borderlands 3, Dragon Quest 2, Division 2, you know, it's having Gears of War 5.
Right, all this is people reading into the listing that came out on Walmart Canada, and all that is someone from Walmart Canada being proactive, probably being told to do this, just making up the online SKUs and placeholder artwork and all that type of stuff ready for when they're released, because if they are announced at E3,
they can just click the button and be the first to do pre-orders.
They can just click the button and be ready to go, and they'll get more pre-orders that way. And this seems like someone that, you know, kind of knows what they're talking about, making an educated guess on a bunch of that stuff that either has been announced, will be announced, or could be announced. And that's all this is, really, basically.
Yeah, I mean, it's a list of educated guesses.
But there's enough mistakes in there that you think it's not real, basically.
Did anyone see the Bethesda response?
Yes.
Yes, that was quite funny.
So all these placeholders are black covers with white text,
which is standard fare for these sort of companies anyway.
That's how you know the sexy times are inside them, Coleman.
That's right. So, Bethesda took a screenshot of the Rage 2 one, and they were like, this is all wrong, the cover art's all wrong. You've not capitalized Rage in Rage 2, so yeah, we can tell this is a fake. I thought it was quite funny the way they did that. Interestingly, they put Assassin's Creed. Do they mean the next Assassin's Creed, or are they trying to hint that there's a remake of Assassin's Creed?
No, I just think they put in Assassin's Creed. We don't know what the hell this is, but there's probably an Assassin's Creed. But I don't think there will be an Assassin's Creed.
No, there isn't, because Ubisoft's already come out and said no new Assassin's Creed this year. They're focusing on Origins.
But I think the notable absentee from this list, bearing in mind this is probably a bit of a moon on a stick shopping list of things we'd like to see appear at E3, it's glad to see everyone's lost all hope in Crackdown ever coming out. Because it's not on the list.
But again, as I said, this is just someone being a bit proactive and getting your things there, and then making the slight mistake of making them public before they wanted to. That's all this is. And other stuff on there, like Dragon Quest 2 is probably Dragon Quest Builders 2, I heard someone say, which I think is probably a good educated guess of what they were aiming for there. And then there's other things that, yeah, you know, you could see possibly being announced, Borderlands 3 being one of them. Rage 2, actually, I'd almost completely forgotten about Rage, but I really liked the first one, and I'd like to see them revisit that idea and that theme. And
well, to be fair, I'd wish a number of people would forget about Rage, but, you know.
Yeah, I quite liked it anyway.
It was all right for the fiver I paid for it.
Yeah, and look, Gears of War 5, I think, is one of the ones that's a no-brainer on that list. I can see them announcing that, even if that's not going to be ready this year. But yeah. Yeah.
But all of this is conjecture, scuttlebutt, and, you know, the list may well be video game by the people is being released this year, published by the publisher mans and womans. So
that said, I would quite like a Just Cause 4, please.
Yes.
Thank you, please.
Yes. Yep, that would be a good time.
If we could release it less buggy than Just Cause 3 as well, that'd be great.
But it won't be as much fun. It's part of its enduring charm.
Aren't Square Enix doing a presentation thing this year as well?
I think the last one was 2016. Yeah, they're doing their own one now.
Yeah, so they've got like a few things to announce. And like we'll probably hear details more excitingly for, I think anyway, of what their Avengers game is, which I think will be interesting. Is it the Deus Ex devs that were working on that?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm quite excited to see how that one comes out and exactly...
No, like, it's the Tomb Raider devs, isn't it?
Oh, right. I can't remember. In fact, there's multiple games being worked on by multiple studios. I'm not sure that both of them aren't. But in any case, I'm excited to see what exactly that style of game is, because we haven't heard many details about it yet. So that'll be a good one to actually hear from.
Indeedy. But yeah, so stuff is coming in the future at some point soon.
Cool.
But it's not only all of that nonsense from Walmart trying to get attention. There's been a bunch of other stuff in the news, and there's lots of it to get through. So Onrush, the drivey game that does remind me a bit of Split Second every time I look at it.
That's no bad thing, except for it doesn't have the big bombastic things falling around. But
yes, no bad thing. Massively underrated game, Split Second.
Yes,
it's beta's going live on the 17th of May, which Criffins, I believe, is next week.
Yeah, yes. And you should definitely play that. Coleman and I have both been looking forward to it, Mr. Coleman, no?
Yep, that's 2 o'clock, and that's going to run up till Sunday the 20th of May on both Xbox One and PS4. No PC beta just yet.
God damn it.
I don't think the PC version's coming out the same day as the console versions either.
No, so. I think it's probably later, isn't it?
Also, you got EA are teasing a new Battlefield reveal coming up later this month.
Oh, what a surprise. Another Battlefield game.
Well, whether that's going to be Battlefield 5, or if that's going to be another World War type game, or if that's going to be the rumoured Battlefield Battle Royale game.
Or the one that everyone wants. Or I don't know, everyone. Some people. Bad Company 2.
Yeah. Bad Company 3, surely.
Oh, 3. Sorry, yeah, it would be, wouldn't it?
Well, they're going to announce something on the 23rd of May.
Yes.
Yes.
They said the Battlefield will never be the same.
Because of Battle Royale.
Or they're going really far back into the past, and it's going to be a bit more like For Honor.
Battlefield, colon, Medal of Honor.
Or
not that far in the past, Coleman. But yeah, it'd be interesting to just to see where they take it from, you know, World War One and where they're going. And
well, I think you'll find around World War One, planes were invented. And what if you put 100 soldiers on a plane, parachute them onto an island, and then let something happen, and mate, it'd be amazing.
In the same vein of things, Treyarch is teasing the return of the Zombies mode to Call of Duty Black Ops 4. Of course, it's happening.
What a surprise.
The official E3 Twitter account, they accidentally revealed it early by the looks of it, but Treyarch are still teasing it. We're putting out an image with a zombie showing, saying, "Mankind's reckoning will be its salvation, and so it begins. Hashtag zombies."
In other news, the sun continues to rise in the east and set in the west.
Does it?
Yep.
Wow.
Pro Evolution Soccer 2019, that's been announced, and it's coming out on the 20th of August for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC.
Oh, I'm looking forward to their budget names for footballers.
A lot of people seem to be up in arms that there is no Switch port.
Well, yeah, because FIFA 18's on the Switch, isn't it?
I think it's the previous version from older consoles that came to...
Right.
Yeah, it's like last year's edition with a makeover, which is what they did for Wii U as well. But it played pretty well from what I remember, what I was told about it. Valve has announced that they are going to launch two free mobile apps for the iOS and Android devices called Steam Link App. And they are going to let you play your Steam library on your mobile device.
That's pretty awesome. Apart from that, I think on Android that's going to go down very well. Mm-hmm. But because iOS is the walled garden that it is, good luck getting a Bluetooth controller to connect your iPhone.
I got a Wiimote to connect to the iPhone before on a 3GS.
When you say connect, did you just throw it at the screen and it embedded
I could use it on it.
Right, okay.
Yeah, so I mean, it'd be great if there was a way to actually either physically or kind of wisely connect.
Wisely?
Controllers. Wirelessly, Timothy. Anyway. Connect controllers to the iThings, because that would be great, and that would make me a very happy man. But you do need certain minimum requirements for your PC to actually talk to your iThing. So you either need to have it connected to a 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi network, or it needs to be plugged in via an Ethernet cable to your router.
SNK has officially announced the Neo Geo Mini. It's a tiny little arcade cabinet.
A little tiny little Neo Geo.
You can see more on SNK's recent Facebook post. It is a smaller version of the original 1990s arcade cabinet. Comes preloaded with 40 games. By the size of it, I don't want to use that because the controller stick and stuff are so tiny.
It does look cool, and you can also plug it into your TV as well.
Yes.
So you got the double functionality, which is quite cool.
Yeah, I mean, I have to say the Neo Geo was one of the things I always lusted after when I was a teenager.
That's because of those magazine adverts, or the adverts in the back of magazines that had the whole Neo Geo thing and all the games, and they all looked awesome, and it was way too expensive.
I'm not quite sure about their decision to put it in a... I can kind of see why they wanted to put it in an arcade cabinet, but... You know, I'm trying to get an idea for scale, and man, that thing is tough.
If you could attach an additional controller, I'd be more interested.
But I think you can, no?
Oh, can you?
Because you can connect it to a TV, so you wouldn't be connecting that to a TV and then using the joystick. So I imagine that you can connect a controller. I think I heard that you could.
I'm going to hit you with some dimensions, fools.
Okay. Yep.
You ready?
No.
Display size.
Also, otherwise, how would you play multiplayer as well? But anyway.
I'm really glad I was not going to embark on a sentence there, Coleman.
I didn't say anything. That was Tim.
No, I know. I was having a conversation with you.
Oh, I see.
So, yes.
Well, carry on.
Display size, 3.5 inches. That's small. Thank you, Coleman. And it's going to be 13.5 by 10.8 by 16.2 centimetres, which is not very big, but also weigh 600 grams, which is a ton. So perhaps there's like a black hole in there or something. I don't know. It's quite a super massive little console.
If you remember the time of the plug-in and plays, which don't really exist so much anymore because Nintendo made their version and Sega's making their version, but when all these different third-party companies used to be out there making all the different plug-in plays, there used to be a lot of play 40 of the greatest Sega games, and they would be on a little controller that plugged into the TV. And I have seen ones on little arcade cabinets, but the arcade cabinets aren't usable. They're just to plug into the TV.
Yeah.
So it just kind of reminds me of that, but a much nicer version.
Yeah, so there are two external controller connection points, which is good. There is a power supply cable, but no AC adapter to go with that power supply cable in the worrying trend that continues for all things that need a USB plug.
Well, thanks to recent releases, I've got most of the most of the Neo Geo games I want on the PlayStation 4 and on the Switch. So.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. A lot of the Neo Geo games have come out on the Switch recently, no?
Hmm.
They seem to have been porting most of those across.
But they're £5 each, so depending on what the price of this is.
It's good value for what it is, I guess.
Yes. So Neo Geo Mini is a thing. And in other news of retro goodness, Devolver Digital, they have super fun indie goodness, releasing a Super Nintendo game because it's 2018.
There's your Super Nintendo release. Are you wanting?
We have got SNES cartridges over the last couple of years. There was the Street Fighter 2 Anniversary Edition that you could get the green ones or the red ones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Ryu Red or Blanka Green. And then the green ones glow in the dark. And then they've just recently announced that there's Mega Man X editions that are coming out as well by the same company. So this kind of plays on the recent releases of SNES games being ported out again.
But, I mean, I guess there is a thing where there's enough people out there either with original SNESs because they're, you know, collectors of retro games, fact there's, you know, the Retron 5s and all the other consoles that actually play the original cartridges.
Who just like to stick tat on their shelves.
There's that too.
Cool, man.
So you do need some gaming decoration in the back of your YouTube background.
Yeah, that's it. If you're a YouTuber, you need this on the shelf behind you.
Yeah, you need something to put there, so...
Yeah.
Hey, look, I'm culturally relevant.
But the game's called Fork Parker's Crunch Out. It's a game starring Devolver Digital's fictional CFO...
Fork Parker.
Right.
Yeah. There's a name they've touted around quite a few times previously.
Yeah, where you take a ragtag group of game developers from a downtrodden garret studio to a high-rise mega corporation, profits of the game will be sent forward to the charity Take This.
And by the sounds of it, it is a bit of a comment on and, shining a light on the whole crunch during game development type stuff, and that being not the best healthy working environment for people.
So Take This, for those of you who don't know, is a charity trying to improve awareness of mental health issues and also provide support for people in particular, you know, with a video game slant to it. And I think it's brilliant that they're sending any profits this makes in that direction, because, you know, frankly, you know, a lot of people out there don't speak about their mental health problems even though they have them. So good for Take This, and good stuff. Well done, Devolver Digital.
Good work.
All splendid.
Hey, do you want to hear some release dates?
Yeah,
I'd love to hear some release dates.
Very quickly, we've got the side-scrolling cartoony shooter Creepy Road.
When's that out?
That is going to be out on the 17th of May for Windows, PC, and Mac on Steam. It is a creepy-looking game, funnily enough, and it's all hand-drawn animation. It looks very interesting. Descenders is coming to Xbox One through the Game Preview Program.
When's that out?
out. Descenders
on
the 15th
of, May. That is a procedurally generated freestyle bike game.
Yeah, that looks interesting, actually. I've been meaning to check that out when it came out on PS4, so I might have to have a look on Xbox One. Anyway.
And that is going to be part of the Idea Xbox Game Fest that starts next week.
That's, I didn't know that was a thing until I heard it with Descenders. But still.
Yeah, that's the new Summer of Arcade type thing.
Ah!
But yeah, more focus on indie games.
Anyway,
Monster Hunter fans rejoice. Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate will be released exclusively on the Switch.
When's that out?
On the 28th of August.
I also have a question. Is this an anglification, as it were, of Monster Hunter XX that's out on the Switch in Japan?
Yes, apparently so.
I called that.
Possibly good news, possibly bad news. A lot of people saying that this might be difficult for gamers to go to that have been introduced to World. This might be a bit more difficult.
Hardcore,
learning
you know
curve,
the score.
Sort of
it is Monster Generations game.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of a rhyme.
But then, yeah, like, I don't know. It could be a difficult transition. You'd think if that was the case, though, they might have put some of the things like the trail and stuff that leads to the next person was in World and not in this, no? So maybe they could bring some functionality that it brought into World into this before its release, maybe? I don't know. But
or they
it
won't.
Could just
and
be a
they'll just
port.
Keep it a street port and yep. Go, this is for the diehard hardcore fans.
That could be that.
You know you wanted it. Anyway, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, it will be released on the 29th of June, which is a few weeks earlier than expected, on Switch, PC, and Xbox One. Not PS4, because that's already out. Yeah.
Lovely.
Balls hard, that game.
Good. Also an old school platformer, so, you know.
Which brings a smile to your face, I know, Tim.
I'm going
to
get Tim to play it one day.
Yeah, please do. Film it. Make him go and say.
I've been thinking up a video series that I'm keeping to myself.
You should play that one that I think it's on the way recently, Yoku's Island Express that I went on about from EGX. I think that's coming soon, and that's a decent platformer with a dung beetle who basically plays pinball.
It good.
Looks fun.
I'm sold.
Yes.
Sold. Love
exactly.
It.
Other updates, though. That's nice. It's not only release dates, it's updates as well. A bit of a date theme. Fortnite.
I have heard of this indie game.
Yes, this indie game. It
not many people playing it.
No. It's a very a niche thing. And it's having a particularly niche crossover with a movie series you probably haven't heard of, the Avengers.
I remember that had the guy with the bowler hat,
Jonathan Peele,
the cat suit,
and yep.
Sean Connery was in it, dressed as a bear. That was weird.
I think you're thinking of Avengers Assemble, but...
Ah, of course. Yeah. Silly me.
Yeah. But Thanos!
Yeah, Thanos. He's coming to Fortnite. Yes, because Jamie, friend of the show, did say that he'd managed to have a little go at it. And apparently Thanos is like one playable spawn is Thanos. And people have got to make the decision. Do we team up and try and kill Thanos and then kill each other? Or do we just continue killing each other?
It's close to that. So I think it's Infinity Wars mode, it's called. There's a comet that hits the map. And in the comet is the Infinity Gauntlet. The first one to get the Infinity Gauntlet becomes Thanos.
Okay.
And it's not it's only in the solo mode, so you go and you're not in teams, you're not in groups, you're out in the solo, but you can team up with other players to try and take out Thanos. And originally, apparently, Thanos was very overpowered, and they've had to nerf him because he was unstoppable.
Isn't that the general idea of Thanos being Thanos, though?
He's not unstoppable. He's just one of the most powerful beings in the galaxy, in the universe.
Hey, anyone with that many chins arranged in a horizontal fashion, I mistrust.
I like the movie version where he looks like purple Bruce Willis.
So that's a thing. Fortnite continues to print money. But Bridge Crew, which is something, actually, I really mean to give a go, because it's no... So this is Star Trek Bridge Crew, and it's no longer got... It no longer demands you have VR.
Now we can play, Dan.
Hey! It's a bit like, but however, I've played Space Team, and that doesn't cost me very much money, whereas this would.
Again, it's something where I it would lose so much for not being in VR. I don't think I could play it in VR having. I don't think I can play it in not VR having played it in VR. But anyway. But it does mean we can play together, Dan. That's good.
Talk about the DLC.
Yes. The DLC is basically all stuff from, well, mostly stuff from TNG. So, yeah, all next generation content.
Right.
and, yeah, it's the bridge of that. It's the kind of, you know, the uniforms and stuff. So it's got the look of that universe. But then they're also bringing in new content in the forms of like Borg and I believe Romulans as well, basically. Yeah. So, yeah, that looks quite good. And yeah, more content for that game will be good. And also just being able to switch to the different forms of bridges is quite cool, because it was good going between the two versions that they had already. But this obviously is a slight even bigger departure from that, and so yeah, it's a good addition, basically.
Splendid.
Dan.
Yes?
Can you do a Patrick Stewart impression?
Yes, we have to get you to captain.
All right, I'll be captain, it's fine.
Make it so, Dan.
Give us a make it so.
Yeah.
Make it so?
Oh, God damn it.
Good man.
Tea, Earl Grey, hot. You mean like that?
Yeah, that's close.
Rather put me on the spot. Wasn't expecting to pretend to be an octogenarian bald man.
While we're on the subject of space-based VR as well, there's something else that's just been announced today as a release date. Detached is coming on the July 5th to PlayStation VR, and that looks quite cracking. So yeah, that looks interesting.
Tim, shush. Dragon Ball Fighters
is getting a free update that adds co-op mode, which doesn't sound as isn't as exciting as it sounds. But they've announced that. On the 9th of May, we're going to get a party battle mode that will allow players to team up to battle a variety of bosses. And there's also another feature coming called the Fighters Cup, a monthly competition where players can battle and collect points for their respective Z Union. Which more details to that last one are coming later. But the co-op, that's interesting. I want to see how that's implemented, because the way the game, you always have a team of three in the game, or you can't. You can lower that if you wish, but you have a team of three and you play through the story.
Why are you not excited by co-op? I'm confused, Mr. Dom.
Because then I'll have to play with someone else and then they'll go, so they're named after vegetables, right? I go, yeah, they're named after vegetables. And they go blonde when they're powerful. Yeah, they go blonde when they're powerful. So what's he doing now? He's calling upon all the souls of the universe to share their energy. What happens if they don't? Well, it doesn't get any energy, does it? I don't want to explain this stuff while I'm playing.
Why is he called
vegetables? Why has he got a tail and then he hasn't got a tail?
Vegetables.
Yeah, all right. EA and DICE have outlined their plans for Star Wars Battlefront 2's upcoming Han Solo content.
I have a question.
Solo.
Is it single player?
No.
No?
Oh, Han Solo, come on.
I realise there's a slight spoiler here, so I'll have to rephrase this slightly. But starting on the 16th of May, spread across 2 months, new content will include a new multiplayer map of some description. That may be a movie spoiler, and new 2v2 elimination mode called Hero Showdown, the ability to test various starfighters, which is called Starfighter Custom Arcade, and also there's two new costumes that aren't to do with the movie. There's Lando Calrissian's Skiff Guard disguise from Return of the Jedi, and also from Return of the Jedi, Leia Organa's Bush Bounty Hunter suit. Which
not to be confused with her bikini, which had a Bush Bounty all of its very own.
Whoa!
Yeah, I think Disney have basically shelved the whole bikini stuff.
Really? Because, what?
But the bounty hunter suit apparently comes with a new voiceover where she's got the creepy voice.
That's quite cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I still haven't played enough Battlefront, and I'm not sure how much I necessarily want to, considering...
Look, stop touching yourself. I can see you.
That they're, yeah, still wanting to make...
You sound like Brady's Rebecca Brooks impression.
I am the Rebecca Brooks.
The Rebecca Brooks.
Lastly, right now, players of the Overwatch variety, until the 21st of May, you can purchase a special Pink Mercy Legendary skin for
£12.99. Why would I want to do that, Coleman?
Because 100% of the skin's proceeds go towards the Breast Cancer Research Foundation.
That is also a good idea.
This is, you know, usually these kind of, that kind of money for cosmetic items would usually get me up in arms. But I'm glad to see they're finally harnessing this for the power of good. I'm all for things like this that have no impact on kind of player ability to do cool things in the game, but just go straight to a good cause like this. So well done, you, Blizzard.
Blizzard tends to do this with, I've seen this mostly with World of Warcraft. They'll do a special pet that's, you know, £15 or something, and that pet, all the proceeds go to charity. And then sometimes they'll do like a very extravagant, like a crystal tiger that only 5 in the world are available, but they sell them for about $500, and that all goes to charity as well.
If you're being slightly cynical about it, then it does obviously attract press and attention and draw people back into the game, possibly. So it's got added benefits for them.
£13 to Breast Cancer, I don't give a crap about that.
Then it's something worth supporting, and I wish more games would do it, basically.
Sort of on the same basis as what Tim's saying, if you kind of take the negativity away from your in-game purchases, when you know, you're right on the cusp of about to get some negative press about loot boxes and what have you, it's not a bad idea. But that's a very cynical view.
EA, are you listening?
But if you just donate the money from, like, the whole foot stuff and, you know, FUT and all that type of stuff, donate that to charity for a month and I will let you off for at least 3 months. How's that? It's a deal.
Wow.
Anyway.
Are we done?
Mm-hmm.
Are we vented?
Yep.
Do you reckon we should let Tim go first with what we done, play Coleman?
I think we have to.
Yeah, right.
I got a review code sent to me for Bridge Constructor Portal on the Switch.
Hey!
Now, this is one that I was interested in a while. I did see that it came out a while ago, and no one from Big Red Barrel picked up the review code when we offered it before. And so when we were offered one again when it came on sale recently, which is why we were offered it this time, I was like, okay, look, I definitely am interested in this game. Anyone that does know Portal, particularly Portal 2, is probably one of my favourite games of all time. And Portal 2 is definitely in my funniest games of all time, quite high up, but overall is probably in my top 10 games, I would say. So I'm a big Portal fan, and I think that the announcement of Bridge Constructor Portal attracted a bit of negative press when it was initially announced, just because it seemed to be latching onto the Portal name, and people were I think when it was teased, people were expecting another Portal game, possibly.
Yeah, I think that's where the kickback came from.
Yeah, and this was, you know, slightly, you know, not good as news as that. Now, I don't know about you guys, I've never played the original Bridge Constructor. It was a
spoiler alert, you build bridges.
I know, and anyone does know, it's kind of physics-based puzzle game where you're building bridges to get traffic across a gap, or, you know, or in a kind of puzzly type way. And it's a series that I've always kind of admired from afar and thought I could probably get into that. And the only thing that I kind of think now, though, is that having played the Portal one, and this is something perhaps you can fill me in on as well, Mr. Coleman, is I wonder if having played the Portal version, if going back to the vanilla kind of Bridge Constructor, if that would be a bit dry. Because most of the humour from this game seems to come from the Portal universe. Was the original Bridge Constructor, did it have a bit of humour to it as well?
I mean, the humour is in the bridge constructions. The silly ways that you, especially in the way that the fan creations that would be shared, that they would do an incredibly insane, elaborate bridge, for a very simple task.
Yeah,
but not in the game itself.
Okay,
this seems very, very much isolated in Portal's humour.
Yeah, right. So, and that's, yeah, the presentation and style of this really adds an extra level of depth to it that I think I particularly appreciate being a Portal fan. Now, you have to be slightly unprecious with some of the Portal universe in the frame. Like, fairly early on in the game, they throw one of the sort of major mechanics slightly under the bus or out of the window. But basically, it's just the fact that the portals that you're doing come in pairs of colours. So if you go in a purple portal, you come out of a purple portal. I shouldn't have picked purple because that made it a tongue teaser. Anyway, they're color coded rather than being in like orange and blue pairs. But that just means that they can use more of them in the same level. And you're not like firing off portals to go through things. You're basically just constructing a bridge. But some of the puzzles will involve either passing the vehicles that you're trying to get from one end of the level to another, or like there are companion cubes that you need to like have go on switches so that you can get vehicles past a certain gate, for example, and stuff like that.
I have a couple of questions. Is this just a rather cynical reskin of Bridge Constructor, or have they actually put a load of Portal assets in?
No, the one thing I'd say is that GLaDOS, I'm not sure it's the same voice actress that's playing GLaDOS. It's in this.
It's Brenda Oss instead this time. GLaDOS.
I don't know that that's the case, but
to Oss.
It doesn't sound exactly like her, whether it's just that they've used her in a slightly different way, or is it? I suspect it's a different voice actress.
Is it Ella? But, this is Rebecca Brooks.
No, no, it sounds similar and very much in the style of GLaDOS. It just doesn't sound exactly like her. But again, it's the same sort of humour. Like, one of the things that I quite like this quite in keeping is there's the each sort of cart that you're trying to get through the level. Each cart kind of has a driver and then passengers, and it doesn't give a flying monkeys whether the passengers make it to the end of the level or not.
Good.
You just have to get the driver and the cart to the end of the level. And
sorry,
just
to jump yep. in, it is Ellen McLean.
Is it? Right, okay,
but
as
she's
I said.
She's 65 now, so...
Well, yeah. Possibly, yeah. As I said, it might just be the fact that she sounds different. It might also be, like, just listening to... I've mainly been listening to it through headphones or just through my Switch, and that may make her sound different. Or it could just be that they've handled the audio file slightly differently. But, as I said, sounds slightly different, but it's very much in the same style of humour. If you like that style of humour, then it translates to this. There's little cutscenes every sort of 10 levels or so where... it'll have like it'll flip back to the scene in your office and you're being promoted and the kind of like the names of the job titles you're being promoted to are all quite humorous and very much in keeping with the Portal universe. And yeah, like I said, I don't know if I'd struggle to go back to Bridge Constructor after playing this version, just because this version does add so much to it with the Portal universe. It's got the mechanics of the portals, as I said, and it's got the little companion cubes and a few other nods to fans and stuff in it as well, but also just the general level of humor, not caring about the humans. The actual playing of the game, you're still constructing bridges, and it gives you lots of hints of like this is the standard ways of doing it and stuff. You're basically building in triangles is a lot of the kind of hints and tips it gives you. But yeah, like I've been really enjoying it. There is a bit of a variation in the kind of the length of time it takes to solve some of the levels and stuff like that. There's also I don't know if this was the same in the original Bridge Constructor, Ms. Coleman, but they have, when you're originally playing and kind of testing it, you can at any time in the build you can switch to sort of test mode, and it'll either just test the gravity of what you're doing, but you can also then, instead of just going to test, you can go to drive and it starts the vehicles sort of processing through your level. But initially you can only test with one of those vehicles, and when you successfully get that vehicle from start to finish, then you can switch to convoy, which will have, and it depends on the level as to how many of the sort of trucks you need to get through, but it's kind of it'll be between like 3 and 10, and that really tests like the you know, the structure of those things, because you'll be sometimes you'll be like catapulting things across a gap and you have to have something land on it, and it's a bit easier to get like one vehicle through as a fluke from start to finish, and it can be a bit more difficult and sometimes even a more involved actual construction, or you know, a kind of a more heavyweight type of thing that requires a bit more thinking and a bit more building to get all of that convoy through, because you know it's got to stand up to the repetition of everything going through it as well. Also, sometimes it involves adjusting the timings of things to get all the vehicles through. But I've played like I think I'm on level 42 of 60 basically. One of the only things I worry about is it doesn't really, it tells you like how much money you spent, and it actually doesn't say spent, it says how much money you've wasted on however much money you've like you know, the assets that you've built and used throughout that level. But it doesn't really place an emphasis on that. It just places an emphasis on whether you've been successful or not. I'm not sure once you get to the end of the game whether it'll put more of a focus on that and then high scores. But at the moment, the one thing I found is that you can save, and it seems to have multiple slots per level that you can save something on if you're halfway through it, but it doesn't really give you the option to save once you've finished, and that would be a nice addition and stuff like that. Also, like actually playing it, because I think this originally came out on PC, if I'm correct, basically.
Yeah, I believe that it's also out on iOS as well, I think I played it on.
Okay, and I don't know if it's out on consoles and stuff, but I do think
this
benefits from having the ability to switch between touchscreen controls and the actual, you know, buttons and controllers sort of thing. So I do think that's actually quite helpful, just because sometimes it's easier to use the touchscreens because you can just and things. It does have like a nice zoom in and zoom out function, so you can get really down into the nitty gritty of things, quite handy. It has an undo, which is very welcome, but it could really do with a redo button. That would be my only request as an addition. But generally, as I said, really enjoyed it. If you're a fan of the original game, or if you're a fan of Portal, I think both gives you a reason to come and play this game.
Original games, Tim.
Well, yeah, original games. I know. Yeah,
multiple, yes, there's loads of them.
Multiple bridge constructors and multiple portals.
Five, I think.
But I, as I said, I don't know if I'd necessarily rush out to play Bridge Constructor having played this, because I think I'd be feeling that I missed out on the, you know, the bits that Portal do bring to it, and I think that's enough to make it, yeah, significant. Basically,
I would suggest playing Bridge Constructor Stunts.
Yeah, so Bridge Constructor Portal is out on just about everything you can think of now that it's out on Switch. It's on, obviously, the Switch, we just talked about it, PS4, Xbox One, Android, iOS, Windows, through Steam, Linux through Steam, and Mac, presumably through Steam as well. So there we go.
Yeah, and as I said, currently on sale on Switch as well, so worth picking up while it's on sale.
How much is it on sale for?
I don't know, because it got
pounds.
Go,
but,
£1 million.
Let's talk.
Right, let real talk, Coleman. Yeah,
real talk.
A wonderful part of my week happened. In fact, a wonderful part of this month happened.
That rash has finally gone.
Indeed. Still itches a bit, but the oozing has stopped. I had some surprise Stephen Fry in My Destiny.
Oh.
Yeah, I heard he was in it.
I've not got to that point. Where
spoilers.
He is a friendly guide through some bits of Mars that you'll wander through. Keep an ear out for him. So Destiny 2 Expansion 2 Warmind has finally come out. And, well, Bungie are hurting a bit at the moment, and they really needed to make sure that there was evidence that they were kind of changing direction in a good way with Warmind. And I think it's a reasonable start.
Really?
And I would say it's a reasonable start.
Okay.
Well, it's the second expansion, which means, like, two more expansions to go, and then the game's going
to
be good.
We've got September to go, then it'll be good, then they'll do another questionable expansion, and they'll stretch that out for a year and a half while we're waiting for Destiny 3.
I thought we had to wait for another two other games. I thought we had to wait to Destiny 4 before this got good.
Tim, you haven't played it. You have no valid opinion.
I've been trying to get into play it again.
I know, right? It's the next in the series of expansions. Unsurprising, it's the last one you get with the season pass, should you have bought that. And it's all about traveling to Mars. The bad shizzle is going down.
Would you say you have to get your ass to Mars?
Actually, I found a picture, and if you're on our Discord, you would have seen this, of Arnold Schwarzenegger in his Mr. Freeze costume, where they made him blue, and he looks practically identical to Commander Zavala, who is also getting his ass to Mars. So that
Guardian,
makes sense.
I told you to leave the war mind alone.
What are you doing? Turn it off.
Find me Cade. I need my fire team.
What is he doing to that chicken?
At least mine were actual lines.
Rasputin, the Warmind, who we all thought lived on Earth but actually lives on Mars, has awoken, and a mysterious guardian called Anna Bray of Clovis Bray, who is
Anna Bray?
Yeah.
Yep.
She sounds like she's just come off a council estate.
She's a quirky hunter.
Good.
She's a quirky hunter, also a doctor. Tim, you've had enough attention for one day. Quiet for 5 minutes, boy. You're off to Mars. The ice caps have thawed, and it's brought the hive to the surface. Donald Trump doesn't believe in global warming, so what's all that about? I don't know.
It's not the globe, though. It's Mars.
That's true. Yeah. And we all know the world is flat.
Mars isn't warming.
Exactly. So the hive are there. No one's quite sure whether Rasputin is a force for good or a force for evil, or whether or not he's just trying to protect himself. Anna Bray thinks he's a force for good. Zavala thinks he's a force for evil. Hilarity ensues, which involves a lot of explosions. But it's really probably not the surprise, the plot that you're turning up for here. It's all the other bits of window dressing that go along with it. They've really tried to actually give this a bit of an end game.
Well, just to argue that, like, after the campaign mode of Destiny 2, I think new players to the franchise may have bought the DLC to turn up for the story.
Well,
then they're disappointed.
Here's the rub.
There is no story.
I don't, Tim, shush. Again, I feel they've kind of frittered away the opportunity they have in storytelling with the bad guy here, again. And I think they've made some odd choices with the construction of the story and the story arc. And I think that again, it was a bit like with Curse of Osiris. We're going to go assume Curse of Osiris is going to have, you know, spoilers are fair game. It was a bit like, oh yeah, the robots are back and the Cabal are there. Oh, time travel. Oh yeah, Osiris, he's a bald bloke. Oh, big scary robot, you're done.
See, with Curse of Osiris, it seemed like the narrative was very short. So to pad it out, they kept throwing the same thing at you and then every now and then change it up a little bit. But I quite liked the ending boss. Because it was big and epic, and it made me feel powerful.
Yes, and you have another big epic boss in Warmind as well. But again, if even vaguely paid attention to the story of Destiny, I mean, if you haven't, you're going to go, what the heck is going on? And if you have, you're going to go, it kind of threw that away a bit. In the same way that, you know, kind of Gaul in the kind of the kind of vanilla Destiny 2 campaign, you know, he was like built up to be the big bad, and then kind of it was like, oh right, he's dead. Oh by the way, there's this total random dude who you've never met before, he's going to be the raid boss. Don't ask where he's come from too much or what's going on in his big gold pimp ship. And it's, again, it's just odd that some of the narrative choices they have made. But that being said, they have really changed a lot of how the game itself works. And finally, it feels like exotic weapons are actually exotic. They're actually worth using. They are actually really cool and fun to use and really unique to use now, which they weren't before.
I have a question.
Yes.
I keep getting legendary weapons that have a gold hue to them. What's that about?
Yes, they're called Masterworks.
Okay, when did that happen?
That happened about March.
Ah.
but you've now got Masterwork exotics as well. So one of the things they were quite aware of is that kind of Destiny 2, for want of a better way of putting it, kind of gave it all up on the first date. It was very easy to get all the things, especially now that there aren't any random rolls. People could get all the exotics relatively quickly, all of the legendaries relatively quickly, and it kind of, there wasn't the kind of chasing your white whale kind of thing to do, you know, the one item that you just can't get to drop.
It's a worm, Dan. It's a worm.
The white worm.
Yeah.
The white wiggly worm.
Yeah. Big white worm.
Lovely.
Like a nidhogg.
Or a tapeworm.
World serpent.
Yeah.
Have a question, Mr. Dan.
Yes.
You've been playing on PC, correct?
Correct.
Right, because I heard from, and I think it was mainly complaints from Xbox gamers more, and possibly more than PC, but that, the headline that I kind of saw related to it was basically gamers up in arms over recycled content,
yeah,
making up most of the thing, especially if you're not on PS4, because that's one of the more unique things.
Yeah, okay. So let's break down the herp from the derp a little bit there.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's true. So there are two new strikes in the same way that there were two new strikes in Curse of Osiris. So strikes are like the kind of a long, slightly more difficult mission. And both of the strikes in Curse of Osiris were basically harder versions of pretty much identical story missions, and they've done the same again with Curse of Osiris, with Warmind. Both of the strikes are story missions. They're good story missions, but they are both story missions, and the only newly created and crafted strike is the PS4 exclusive one.
Right.
See, that sounds a bit shady overall.
To be honest, I was a bit disappointed with it, but that being said, there is a brand new raid lair, so it's not quite as long as a raid, but it is a new endgame activity. There is a new Mars is a massive area to explore in this game, and there's loads of collectibles to find. There's loads of things to discover and find, and it finally feels like they're getting back to that a bit more now. And kind of the big endgame activity called Escalation Protocol, which is a bit like a public event that anyone can trigger. It's got 7 waves. It is as hard as nails, and it actually feels good for Destiny 2 to be difficult, and it needed to do that. And there's certain items that are locked behind, you know, quite long kind of progression grinds and stuff like that. So I think it will probably last, people who are dedicated to it, to September. But at the same time...
It feels a bit cheap.
Not necessarily. I mean, they've made a lot of good changes to it. Like, heroic strikes now have strike modifiers back on again. So rather than it just being like, oh, these are essentially the same strikes, they have kind of weekly modifiers, which will be like an elemental burn. So all your arc weapons do 25% more damage, for example.
Ooh, elemental burn!
Elemental sick burn! Yo, dog, yes! That's thickest burn! Oh, mate!
I instantly regret that.
But does that.
That
just mean that, yeah, each one's got a bit of variety to it from week to week and...
It has, and it actually does change the way that you play, because not only is there that weekly modifier, there are two other modifiers that change every single day.
Right, okay.
And they do actually really make you change the way you play, which is good, but... You know, I mean, it feels much more of a substantive expansion than Curse of Osiris ever was.
Okay.
And a bit of a step in the right direction. But I do note that the people who put this expansion together weren't Bungie.
Really?
It was Vicarious Visions.
Interesting. So they outsourced this, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. With obviously kind of like editorial oversight.
Interesting.
It feels like a step in the right direction. You know, time will tell. If you haven't picked the season pass up yet, is it worth it?
Do you feel you got your money's worth from the season pass? And do you feel that the average Destiny 2 players would get their money's worth?
I don't feel I got my money's worth.
Okay, well, good. Oh, come on, that's fine. That's fine, mate. That's absolutely fine. I think Bungie really need to get their act together. They need to, you know, stop pretending it's 2008 and they've made Halo and, you know, they're kings of the world and what they say goes. I hope they're making the right noises about a change in direction, and I think this is a good sign of a first step, but they haven't really, you know, although this is being released now, probably all the content and what they were having in it was locked in January, February time, but they've really got to bring it in September if they want Destiny to kind of get back to the hobby status that it once was and that they were aiming for. As always with Destiny, it's at its best if you've got a bunch of mates that you play with, and, you know, good. I mean, a lot of people have come back playing it as a result of Warmind, but I would imagine that, you know, the population base
will drop off fairly quickly again.
Yeah, it's going to drop off fairly sharply.
One other slightly off-topic conversation that relates to this, though, is basically, I don't know about you, but from the hearing what EA are saying about Anthem, they do seem to be chasing this business model without really looking at the criticisms of the, you know, and seeing how much money it's earning. And not really looking at the criticisms and the problems of the game structure. And I very much worry that Anthem may be headed down a similar path of disappointment. But
Who knows? It is early days, and I think the one thing where Bungie went quite wrong with Destiny, that it's kind of their mouths were writing checks that were impossible to cash from a gameplay point of view. I mean, it's a step in the right direction. Sure, yes it is. I mean, they've still got a really long way to go. But, you know, I think, you know, there's still a lot of fun to be had, and it is nice to feel that there's something to do in Destiny 2 again. And So if you're in any way interested in Destiny, check it out. One thing I will say, though, is if you haven't got Destiny 2, it is actually on next month's Humble Bundle. So Humble Bundle is a kind of a bundle of games. That for $12 or £8.88, if you like to trade in real money, it's a bundle game. So previous months have included, I've got Deus Ex, Dead Rising 4, Kerbal Space Program. You know, they've got some pretty big games in that you get for your $12. And Destiny 2 is their game for next month. So if you are on PC and you've got £8 lying around, you're not only going to get Destiny 2, but you'll get at least 4 or 5 other really great games. That also means, because I'm a subscriber to Humble Bundle, I will have a Destiny 2 code to give away, but it will only be Destiny 2. It won't be the expansion pass, and that will be on PC.
I'm playing on PS4 Pro.
How'd that go?
I've got no friends playing Destiny 2, so Aww. It's really boring.
Well, I mean, to be fair, though, that is a problem with it. You do need a full friends list playing it.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to carry on with Destiny 2, because... I bought the season pass on the release of the game, and it's just not lived up to anything for me, and everyone's jump ship to PC, and I can't afford a massive PC, so it's just too boring. I will look for other games.
Aw,
and live a full, rich, fulfilling life outside of Destiny.
And then start taking the out of me because I'm still playing Destiny.
And then Destiny 3 will come out. Then Bungie will sell the license to Activision and then they will go make a new game.
Yeah, I wonder if it's going to go that way.
I heard a theory of that today and I didn't even think of it until today and just went, yeah, that's totally plausible. I reckon they'll do that.
Do you know what I think they're going to do? I think they're going to go full subscription model on it.
You reckon?
Yeah.
See, I don't think that's the worst idea in the world because then at least you know who signed up, what they're getting. But I do think they underestimated and will perhaps continue to underestimate just how much content that model and the upcoming change in that model will demand. Like the amount of demands put on them for content with you know the existing model they have now and with that possible change will only increase. And I think they underestimated that now and they will probably continue to underestimate that if that switches to their new model. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean I think that's one thing they've massively underestimated, kind of the voracious appetite for content that the community has.
Also the ability to transfer your save from a console version to a PC version.
Oh, it really annoys me that I can't do that.
Like that's the other even if I had the powerful PC today to go, right, I can play it on Destiny 2 on the PC, let's do this, I cannot be buggered.
No. And that is absolutely fair. That is absolutely fair.
And like, especially because like my friend, like you and Jamie and all that are playing on PC, you guys play a lot of this bloody game and I can't catch up with you. I've got no chance to catch up with you if I start again. So,
Well, if you want to move out the cheap seats, you mean we will help you run through it.
No, that's fine. And plus as well, I work such weird bloody hours that I'm never available when everyone's available. So.
But you're never going to know when you're on.
Yeah.
What happens when you're an international
man of mystery?
Mysterious goings on.
Mysterious Coleman. I want to stand close to you.
And do what?
I don't know. Say hello.
High five.
High five. Yeah.
Fist bump.
Anyway.
Shake hands.
Yeah, so it's Tuesday. What goes on every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday, for anyone that doesn't know, we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday. And each and every Tuesday, we have a new feature game. If you play that feature game that evening, you have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the
end
of the night.
I have a question.
You have a question.
Do I have to be mounted upon a table to Tuesday?
No, you should. That would probably be, like, bad for everyone else that wants to play games. It's better if you see...
I've just waxed. It won't be that bad.
I have a question.
Then play games on the table.
Are the tables for us to dance upon, are they provided or do we have to bring our own?
Bring your own table.
If you want to dance on a table, then you'll have to bring your own and do it away from this establishment.
I mean, it's Tabletop Tuesday, Tim.
It's not that type of tabletop, Coleman.
I have a question. If I had a large stool that wasn't quite a table, could I still play games on top of that?
You mean a stool that you sit on as opposed to...
Possibly.
...other types of stools?
I have a question.
Medical stools.
Where do babies come from?
Well, it's a bit like pooing out a watermelon is what I've heard.
When a previous god of, like, Greek mythology settles down and has a special cuddle...
Oh, well, no, this goes wrong.
...with another woman.
Okay.
Anyway.
The amount of kids he's Kratos has got, though, surely he's got to be in the millions.
One.
I mean, well, technically, he had two, but...
It's true.
We don't talk about the first one.
Well, the other one doesn't exist anymore, so technically, no. Anyway.
What are we talking about? Oh, Tabletop Tuesday.
Tabletop Tuesday is where we were. But yeah, basically, this week's feature game is a little storytelling adventure game. That sounds quite interesting, actually. It's cooperative... But at some point, if someone kind of doesn't make it, you're basically having already gone on your adventure, trying to make it back so that you can tell the tale of your adventure. But if anyone doesn't make it back and kind of falls in the forest, then basically they can turn on the rest of the group as a kind of vengeful spirit and kind of enact their revenge for not making it, basically. But sounds interesting, a little bit different to the type of games that we had before. For anyone that doesn't know, as I said, you can win the feature game just by coming along and playing it on the evening. There are more details up on bigredbarrel.com in the top left-hand corner, or you could join our meetup group.
Other corners are available.
Which you could search for Tabletop Tuesday on meetup.com. That's meet with two E's before either of you two start saying anything.
Oh.
You know you were going to.
No, I've given up on that. Yeah,
I've given up. I was going to do that.
This week's game, Forest of Fate, looks like fun. Come along and play, and you could possibly win a copy on the evening.
I have a question.
Yes.
Is Forest of Fate part of the Cards of Fate series?
No.
Oh.
Is it published by Cards of Fate?
You mean Hands of Fate?
No, that's Manos, Hands of Fate. That's a movie, isn't it?
No, it's a game.
How is Fate spelled?
It's a video game.
How's Fate spelled?
Like it should be.
Right, so there's an E and a hat on it, and the village people come round, and the local vicar who's
not
made some sandwiches.
Not that sort of fate, Dan, no. Fate as in destiny. See? Relating it back to
that's
something
brilliant.
That
that's
you can
the best
understand.
Kind. That is yes. The best kind. But anyway, we probably ought to stop blathering on.
Yes,
we
probably should.
We have run
I like
on.
Blathering.
Oh.
Yes. Well,
yeah, we had a few more games
thing.
We would have liked to cram talk about. I don't get to talk about the fact that I got hands-on with an Oculus Go, but still.
No, you didn't, because it would take you approximately... it somehow took you 10 minutes to talk about Bridge Constructor.
Well...
Hey, did you know Forest of Fate is published by Cards of Fate?
Is it?
I looked that up.
So Tim just lied to
Coleman
you.
Coleman was right.
Tim lied.
Tim lied. I thought you were talking out of your ass.
Well, okay.
Sorry, I made that assumption. It happens so often.
I have a question.
Yes.
Yep. Is Forest of Fate linked in with the movie Manos and the Hands of Fate?
No.
Okay.
I have a question.
See?
Is Forest of Fate.
The aforementioned talking out
is,
your ass.
Is Forest of Fate linked with the Black Forest Gatto of pudding tastiness?
Yes.
Is it linked to Fern Gully?
No.
I love that film. Tim Curry plays Pollution.
I have a question.
Right.
Does Tom Hanks appear in Forest of Fate? Or is that a different forest again?
Tom Hanks is not.
No, he appears in Forest Gump.
Right,
Fate.
I see. That's good. That's deep cut.
Yeah, man. I thought you would have got that.
No. Oh, wow. I was too busy. I was fixated on Fern Gully.
Were you?
Forest Fair Whitaker enough. Of Fate.
Mm.
What are we doing now?
Shout outs. I've got just a couple.
Okay.
From the Discordy Destiny world in which I live, I'd like to say thank you to the beard, the brains, the brawn, and the slightly disappointingly named Marcus and Scotty.
Do you actually play with three different people called the beard, the brains, and the
yes,
brawn?
Yes, that's great.
That's
brilliant.
Mental.
I offered to change my Battle.net ID to the bell end, but thankfully I didn't have to do that.
On Twitter, thanks to Nelly, Gabriel, and Will Driver. And that's all we got this week. We should get more shout-outs. If you want a shout-out, go on the forums and the Twitter and the Facebook and the iTunes and the YouTube
and the Discord.
All those other way, and the Discord and all those other ways that you can
we didn't
get
shout
yourself...
out the people on the YouTube. Well, call me an idiot.
Well, we're not shouting those ones out.
too many of them.
We want Big Red Barrel UK comments.
Can I just
tell your friends?
Is the Ace Combat nonsense still continuing?
It's still climbing.
Oh no, it's now gone away from this man's an idiot to when's this game coming out?
Yeah.
I was like, we don't know. We didn't make it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that really don't understand how the world works on YouTube.
Keep telling us to make changes to the game. Like, we're not Bandai Namco.
there's not how this works.
Who was it? Someone went, oh, please make a remake of this version of Ace Combat.
I'll work on it now.
I did. I actually went, mate, you're talking to the wrong people, but you know what? We'll have a go. How hard can it be?
Like, seriously, if you don't like my flying, you want to see how bad my video game making is. Jesus Christ. It's going to be like a pencil and a pen drawing of a plane.
Actually, I would quite like to see what...
Yeah,
what,
it's going to be drawn in crayon.
Yeah. You know that kind of monkey's typewriter type situation going on?
If we threw a hundred tins
on a plane and gave them each a typewriter and dropped them onto an island, what would happen?
The circle keeps closing. Bundles of typewriters in the middle.
Yep, exactly. Talking each other to death. Anyway, we ought to go.
Yeah.
We really should. So, yes, that's it. We're going to go. I have been Dan.
I might have been Tim.
Unfortunately, I've been Coleman.
Yes. Yes, you have.
It's quite unfortunate for everyone involved.
I thought so.
I did as well. Also, that's it this week. We're done. We've had enough. It's not you, it's me. We're going. I'm sorry, but we'll be back next week like the uninvited guests that we are.
Still didn't get to talk about the fact I finished God of War as well, which is still excellent. Anyway,
he's still trying.
I know,
we're ending the show and he's still doing it.
I didn't get to talk about it.
There's a lot of things you don't get to talk about, Tim, and everyone thanks us for it.
I've given you your own episode to talk about God of War, and you're still...
Anyway, that is indeed your lot before Tim remembers he's going to get something that he needs to tell us about again. Like, I went down the shops the other day and bought some milk, and I need to tell you all about it in excruciating detail. So... We're going to go.
He wore an onion on his shirt, yeah, as the fashion at the time.
Oh, God.
Back then, we called coins bees. Give me 20 bees, you'd say. And then I've got the onion and the bees. And...
That's your lot, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you ever so much for listening. And until next time, dear listeners, toodle-bye.
Your ears are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.